I will open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for an opportunity. You said where there is no vision, the people perish. And you said to redeem the time because the days are evil. So, Lord, we're to be apt to teach the word of God, and that's all we're trying to do in a humble manner. Bring your word to light that others may prosper and grow. Grace and knowledge that we might learn ourselves and grow from just the simple handling and teaching of the word of God. Bless these things now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some notebooks up here if anybody needs a notebook. They're free. There's some pens and pencils. And then there's a handout for the lesson tonight. If somebody wants to hand those handouts out, it'll be basically what I want to cover tonight in case we don't get done with the material. You'll still have a material that you can have to look at and go over. So basically, I'm going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, down through verse 20. We'll read that and notice that in just a moment. We'll be capitalizing on some words. We want to capitalize on the call, the call that God puts forth. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual calling. It's not a literal, it's not, hey, Jim, come here. It's not that. It's something that you hear in your heart. It's kind of like an akin unto being saved. God burdens your heart, works with your heart, woos your heart, calls you into salvation. We'll talk about the call and then the called, those that are called. Obviously, this is a preacher class, preacher boy class, but anybody can learn from it at anywhere, especially if there's teams. I believe in teamwork. I believe in man and wife going together. Not that she would trump, but a lot of times a woman will pick up something you didn't even get. And my wife's been through a lot of Bible classes, and I see she's here tonight. I thought she might be fellowshipping with the grandkids, but she's here. So, amen. She'll correct me where I'm wrong. Amen. Thank you, Bonnie. But call, charge. Talk a little about the charge if we can get to it, and a little about the commission. It's all about sending others out, training men to go out and do God's work and God's will. So, if you have an iPad or a laptop or something, feel free to bring it. Use your iPad. Use your laptop. We're in the age of technology. The Lord said, as one day is with the Lord, 1,000 years is one day. Then if the Lord blinks, we're here for another 50 years at least. You say, well, the Lord will come back tomorrow. He could, but we're to be diligent and work like we've got some time to get something done. So if you got something like this, I use it. I've downloaded a book into mine that I'm going to use for format. And the name of that book is The Preacher and His Preaching. Now, I'll be abbreviated when I write. I'll sometimes spell wrong. But that's by Alfred. I'm just going to put A. Gibb. And you can download that. It's Alfred Gibbs. It's what I used in school. Years ago, it's still fundamental. It's still used across the land in all Bible schools, some exceptions. There's plenty of books out there like this. This is another book Pastor handed me today. I have this downloaded in my iPad. This book is what I'll be using, Preacher and His Preaching by Alfred Gibbs. I'll be following somewhat of his outline. I won't cover everything he does, but if you get that book, it's about a $7 buy if you want to download it. You can actually, I don't think they have it in a readable audio, but if you have the technology, you can get it to read to if you don't mind turning the pages if you're lazy like me. So that's what I'll be using. Here's another one, The God Called Preacher by Dr. Peter S. Ruckman from Pensacola, Florida. It's got a lot of personal things in about it's his experience in the call, but it does help because people struggle with, am I called, am I not called, so on and so forth, when I speak to the men with the call of God on their life, other than the call to salvation. So this is good. I also have that downloaded. I've already read that a number of times, and I have that in my iPad. I won't draw from it a whole lot, but it is a good resource book for you if you want to know about your call or the call of God on your life. Now, some of you are going to say, that's a good book. There's another good book. My other son went to college at West Coast Baptist College, and they used John Getch's book on homiletics from the heart. Pastor probably has a copy of that. Jeremiah has a copy of that. That's also a downloadable. And for information on that, I'm just giving you what I'm using. That's an excellent book. Could have used that easily for a textbook. But if you don't have that and you're interested in preaching, putting together messages, stuff like that, it's very good. So let's take our Bible and go to 1 Timothy. And there's been a lot of preaching that's covered a lot of the ground that I wanted to cover tonight. And I do thank the Lord for that, because that kind of sets the stage for a vision we've had to actually start a Bible Institute. But I want you to notice here in this chapter, and we'll, like I said, we'll get into it just a little further, then break it down and actually skip into the syllabus that we have, and we'll use that in just a moment. But here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, great mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they take that they teach no other doctrine. Now, that's why I put this word up here. There's a charge involved in the call to preach. And when you charge somebody with something, we've got law enforcement here. And they can tell you, in the context of charging somebody, it can go from zero to 160 pretty quick on different areas and different penalties and things like that. But the charge to preach, I charge you to teach or to preach, is carries that kind of ramification and that kind of importance before the Lord. He has charged us. So that word will come into play a little bit. And then as you read through there, I just want to point up those few words. Now, the end of the commandment, verse 5, is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. We'll get in probably a little of that. Paul said this: though I speak in tongues, though I do this, though I do that, anything I do in the church, if I have not charity, it profits me nothing. Above all things, you've got to have a loving heart if you're going to deal with people and if you're going to minister. I was not a people person when I got saved. I didn't like people. Still don't like too many people. But I'm getting over it. But I've learned to like people. And your people's your life. And not only charity, but humility. As I said today, I've been praying about this class to start and what we're going to do here. And if I don't admit anything else, I want to admit to you a spirit of humility. Because I believe it's the utmost quality found in a man. And if there's pride, those are the attributes of the flesh and the devil. And God can't use pride in any way, shape, or form. But he sure can use humility. So we're here to learn, here to teach. And I don't count myself as anyone special, but I'm glad for the opportunity. So that charity thing comes up, verse 6, from which, and I'm just going to spot this, and then we're going to bring the stuff on the call here. And I need to remember when I started so we get out on time. From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain janglings. And we've heard some message on that today. Desiring to be the teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner, for the ungodly and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, of manslayers. And I don't want to get, I think I can speed through this. I think you know where we're at and what we're coming from. And from this is a pastoral epistle written to the man Timothy, who was a son in the faith of the Apostle Paul, probably had something to do with winning him to the Lord. He was a third generation Christian from what we understand, because he talks about his mother and he talks about his grandmother. He'd had learned these things. And so down through there, he's been in and around Christianity when Paul charges him with these things and begins to teach or send him this letter. So let me speed up just a little bit. Look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let me stop right there. Your ultimate goal is to tell somebody else about Christ. That's the ultimate thing. And then get it. If you have a burden for the Word of God, it should equate into a burden for souls. And you want to tell others. And that's what the business of the church is. That's what the business of a pastor or a preacher is. And so, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him of life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And notice, notice he's given God all the honor, all the glory, as should be in any lesson, any class, anything we ever endeavor to do. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge, there's that charge again. I commit unto thee. And believe me, the call, the charge, and the commitment, it takes commitment on behalf of the man that is called to the ministry. You can't do it without commitment. And we so often, let me say right here, I don't believe God calls lazy men. I mean, if you're lazy and God, you think God's called you, I got news for you. You're going to get a wake-up call because you're going to go to work. Jim Tarkington said, and he was my pastor for 5 years, and I'm sad to say today he's not in the ministry. He was a very wise man, a very smart man. He was a lawyer, and he studied church and state law, wanted to work for CLA. He pastored the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Dayton, Kentucky. Some folks here know who I'm talking about, but he said this: when God saved me, I was a captain in the Marine Corps and a helicopter pilot. And he said, when I got called to preach, it scared me to death because I was a lazy man by nature. And he said, I found out after God called me to preach, I couldn't be lazy anymore. And I attribute the word of God to changing my life and making me a diligent person. So the book will change you. If you're committed to the word of God, the word of God will commit itself to you. If you'll yield to the scriptures, it'll yield to you, and you'll learn the favor of God through the studying. You'll learn the blessing of God that are there through the word of God. It does not come without work. And a pastor that labors in the word of God, a preacher that labors in the word of God, he's to dig at it like you would dig for silver or gold. You can always tell when a preacher has something. He has dug something out, and you'll get the nugget. And you'll say, man, that was good. You may have heard it before, but it just refreshed you. So you say, what happened? He's been digging in the word of God, and he's given you a nugget from the word of God. Now, lazy preachers don't find much gold, amen? And they're pretty soon found out. So and they don't stay too long. The average pastor stays about a year and a half to 2 years, and he's gone someplace else. I didn't come up like that. I come up when the pastor gets in, he stays. He's God's man, and he stays till God's done with him there. And then he either moves on graciously with humility. He doesn't cause a fight. He doesn't run the church head over heels in debt and throw up his hand and say, God is moving me. Follow what I'm saying? That's not the man of God. That's the hireling. Let me finish this thought, then we'll get into these scriptures. This charge I commit. There's the charge again, the commitment unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, and thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And that you need to know this as a man of God, as a preacher of the word of God, even as a Christian, we're in a battle. When you think we're not in a battle, that everything's just great and everything's warm and fuzzy, it's not. Now, it's good to feel warm and fuzzy once in a while, and it's good to enjoy the love and the caress of the Holy Spirit of God and the security that he gives and the comfort that he gives to the soul, to the saved person. And it's awful good to know if you're called of God and you hit the warfare, and you will, and when you hit the battle and you're on the front line a while, that the Holy Spirit of God is there to comfort you and to lead you. And it's good to say, Lord, I'm sure glad you called me. This is your deal. Just show me what to do next. I'm for volunteers, but I'll tell you what, I still believe that God calls men into the ministry, and an uncalled man trying to execute in the ministry could and probably does, and I've seen it, runs out of the grace of God and gets disgusted, doesn't find the grace, doesn't get the mercy, and goes to something else to do something else. But the called man of God, if he can nail that call down, that's what we're going to do tonight. If he can nail that thing down, he can rest in the comforter that will lead him and take him to the front line in the foxhole and do battle like we're warned here about in the book of Timothy. Let me finish. Holding faith and a good conscience, boy, that's good, a good conscience. And when I hear of a good conscience, that's a clear conscience. You've heard our pastor say with people that struggle with different things that's happened to them in life, get over it. Say, where's he? That's awful hard. No, that's just black and white. You have the authority. You have the power. you have the privilege of putting that under the blood and moving on. He is a gracious God, whatever that may be. So here, holding faith and good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And that's something that'll shipwreck you, keep you from serving God. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexandra. He names two people that couldn't stay by the stuff, that got mixed up, and that got out. And he says, I have delivered. And then he says, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, I'm not going to capitalize on that. But if you want more on that, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you'll find out there's another person that the church set out and turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh because they were in immorality. There's a lot in there. But we're not studying church discipline tonight. We're studying the call. Now, let me grab a sheet of this too. And I wanted to kind of make the class about this just starting out. And if you have your, and I wrote them all down for you, just copy and paste them over there so that we have them. And I wrote on the board call, and I will just briefly touch on that. It's not on your sheet of paper. Call, take your Bible, this is not on your sheet, but take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You realize the word call can show up any place in the Word of God. It's mentioned over 264 times in the Bible. It's not always in reference to a call of the Lord. Martha called Mary. Had nothing to do with getting saved or called to follow what I'm saying. It's just a word. It's just a word. So if you don't have a sheet, grab a sheet. If you don't, somebody will take care of that for you. But Romans 8, 28, I just want to share this verse, because everybody that's saved here today, and you know this is kind of old school, has been called of God. You say, called what? What? You've been called unto salvation. Romans 8, 28. Or 8, 27, 29, right in through there. Okay, he says, Romans 8, let me just start there at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, and we use the verse all the time, to them that love God. So obviously he's talking about the saved folks that know Christ, they love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that call is in the context of salvation, because it's all those that love God. That's not to the called as called to preach the word of God. It's just a word. So we're going to use the rules of the English language like this King James Bible is put together, and you've heard me say it before. The context will define the term. So if I find the word called in the context of preaching, you can know that he's talking about the call to preach, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. So I wanted to give you Romans 8, 28, because it deals with the call. So everybody that's saved has been called. You say, called how? Called by the Spirit of God. Unto salvation. He calls a person. He convicts a person. John chapter 16, John chapter 15 talks about it. John chapter 3 and the story about Nicodemus, but we're not going to go there. We're going to go just a little deeper. And take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. And if you write, if you type on your iPad or whatever you do, it is not going to bother me at all. I would tell you, if you're a preacher and you want to keep notes and take notes, I want you to do that, because it'll be a valuable thing for you somewhere down the road. If you're a teacher, I want you to do that, because I believe teaching, there's a gift to the teaching of the Word of God also. So, but in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, it says that they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And this is the book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. It's the early church. The early church was a Jewish church. You know that. And obviously, I'm not going to take the time to elaborate all that. If there does a question arise, and we'll take the question, but I'm going to talk specifically about what I've outlined here tonight, assuming that you at least know in the book of Acts, it's early church, it's Jewish church, it's turning over to a Gentile church because the Jew is neglecting or has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have, be careful now, called them. Here you have the Holy Spirit of God calling two men specifically to a specific work. He's commissioning them to go. He's charging them to go. We're not reading into the text because it's in the context of sending two guys out as missionaries, or if you please, preachers into the service of the Lord. So here, and it's the Holy Spirit, if you please, or the Holy Ghost of God. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Spirit of God can and does set men aside and call them to specific jobs. Preaching's one of them. Missions is one of them. Those are the things we find in the scripture. Washing cars is not one of them. You follow what I'm saying. You say, well, God called me to this, so I wash cars for Jesus. I doubt it. If your ministry does not involve preaching the gospel or seeing sinners saved, then you have a miserable ministry, and let me say this, a failing ministry. Your ministry should involve souls. When we teach, when we preach, we're going after souls or equipping others to go after souls. Take your Bible, if you wouldn't, go to Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, now I have written these down on the paper for you. If you don't feel like turning, I understand. You have the handout so you can mark it and say, I got it, and don't have to turn. So, Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, and this is when Paul was wanting to go over to Macedonia and try to help those folks. And he's walking with the Lord. He's been saved because he gets saved in Acts 9. And then he gets commissioned and called by the Lord, and he's a man born out of due season. Now, I'm taking a lot for granted here that you know some of these things as we deal with this right here. And we told you that it'd be a level higher than we get in Sunday school. I try to break everything down in Sunday school class. Here, I'm going to go on and preach on the specific thing. So, I'm so in mode teach Sunday school class and spell it all out that I need to jump up to this level and just put it out. If you get it, you get it. Somebody said, some folks get it and some folks don't. I hope you're in the crowd that gets it. Amen. The natural man receiveth not. And let me stop there. Learned too much from the pastor here. And after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach. He had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Listen, God calls men to go preach the gospel. It's recorded in the book of Acts as if it's a holy word of God, and it is. We have an emphatic statement here that simply says, I've been called, and that's that word that I put up here, the call general unto salvation. First, primary. Secondly, called, preach. Now, and we'll develop that a little bit more. Who does God call? And I know somebody's going to say, well, I'm a lady and I feel like God has called me to go preach to the Gentiles. Well, I'm going to take issue with that because you can't prove that in a Bible. So let me move on with the call and we'll talk about some of those things as time winds down, if we get the time. So he said they're called. We were called us to preach the gospel unto them. Look in Romans 1:1, Paul writing, again, very consistent in what he says in these different epistles. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Not only was he called to preach, but he was called to be an apostle. Now, apostle had to have seen the Lord and felt the direct commission of the Lord. That's one of the words we have up here. And he felt the direct charge from the Lord. And he's telling you he was called by the Lord. And on the Damascus Road, which is Paul was an apostle, he had to have seen the Lord, and he was seeing the Lord that day when the lights went out and he was blind. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul was going about at that time, wreaking havoc with the churches, killing people, arresting people, taking them to prison, so on and so forth. So he was a religious Pharisee that was zealous to destroy this new thing called the church. When the head of the church showed up that day, the resurrected Savior, because he was calling him as an apostle born out of due time. He wasn't called while the Lord walked upon the earth. He was called after the Lord resurrected for a special thing, and it's called a mystery, and it's called the church. More on that later some other time. But my point is, he was called. And here, Paul in Romans 1:1, Romans 8:28, we have already read. 1 Corinthians 1:26, another writing of Paul to the Corinthian church. For you see your calling, brethren, and this is good because now we're dealing, I didn't put the word up there, I could have used the word calling on the same board. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I have found that to be so true, and he's talking about a call to the ministry. He's talking to a carnal church here that had something wrong. In every chapter, he had to correct them somehow. If you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, if we ever do it verse by verse, we'll point all that up. But here tonight, it's kind of just running as we go and get on this call thing. Because I want you to be sure, if you're called of God, step up. Take the responsibility. Well, I'm not sure. Take a little time. Let me take this moment to give you testimony. When God called me to preach, it was in 1975. I had gotten back into church as I went to the military. I'd done my 4-year hitch, my 2 years active, 2 years inactive, and I worked those 2 years. Bonnie and I lived in Florida, and we looked at each other and said, man, we're both saved. We both know the Lord. She got saved when she was 10. I got saved when I was 12. Todd was growing up a little hellion because we didn't have him in church. He's pastor now. Can you imagine? And we looked at each other, and you know, we thought, we can do this. We're saved. Somebody knocked on my door. His name was Eugene Meredith. I didn't even agree with him doctrine. He's from Springfield, Missouri, and I already knew all that. But he knocked on my door, and he said, you go to church anywhere? I said, no. He said, are you saved? I said, yeah, John 3:16, quoted him the verse. We said, yeah, we're saved. We're good. He looked around there with tears in his eyes and looked at my son and said, what about him? And boy, I sobered up in a heartbeat. I said, yeah, what about him? Because somebody told me about the Lord when I was 12 years old, and he wasn't even 5 or 6, right before you had Brittany. So we started going to Little Ranch Road Baptist Church, fell in love with the Lord, started going on visitation. Bonnie knocked on so many doors, she got a free Bible. She got an old Schofield Bible, and she felt sorry for me, so she gave it to me. I wasn't even, God hadn't called me to preach or nothing. I was just happy. I was beating on the old piano. Well, I couldn't do nothing but chord. Joyce, where are you? That's all I could do, chord. So I always liked her playing because she could chord. And anybody that could chord, say, yeah, that's how you start. And they said, we need a piano player. I started playing the piano best I could, winning souls, telling people about Christ, loving Jesus. Man, bam, one Sunday it hit me. Preacher got up and preached out of Acts on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and spoke to my heart and called me and said, I need you. I'm calling you. I'm calling you to go preach the gospel. I'm calling you. And it was about an evangelist. I had no idea what an evangelist was. But I thought, man, I can't handle this. And I thought of something that happened when I was 12 years old. I got saved at Smyrna Baptist Church in New Trenton, Indiana. 21 people saved in that revival meeting. I was baptized a couple months later, and they waited for the weather to get around. Well, we didn't have a heater in the baptistry, no heater, just cold water. And I remember Jack Frost, the pastor of our church, he had me in the baptistry. I was probably number 10 in the rotation. I don't remember. He had me standing there, and I was just 12 years old. He had his hand up. He had his hand on my shoulder, and he looked at me. He said, what happened to you here back in the room? I said, I got saved. He said, good. He said, now what if God called you to be a deacon? Would you be a deacon? That's what he said. And I looked at him. I didn't know what to say. Yeah, I'd be a deacon. I'm 12. Sign me up. You know, that's how I felt. Child. He looked around. Amens out all the deacons. Then he looked at me and he said, what if God called you to lead the singing like your dad? My dad led the singing in the church. Would you do that? I said, yeah, because I knew we could sing. Then he looked right at me. He said, what if God called you to preach? Would you preach? I looked right at him and said, yeah, I'd preach. When God called me to preach in 1975, he reminded me of what I said in 1962. Because if you're old enough to get saved and can discern the difference between good and evil, and that's what it's about, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and you can discern that, and God is sensitive and sweet to you and calls you to something other than salvation, especially a man, and calls you to preach, say, what'd you do? I ran like a dog. Wheels fell off our life. Lost my business, lost my motor, was living in a house trailer, lost our trailer. We had 2 or 3 acres, we lost that. See what happened? That's at the time in 1975 when the boats were out in the Gulf with oil and they wouldn't let them come in. Some of you may remember that, and you had to stand in line to get gasoline. And I ran. I packed up everything, let them have the mobile home, they repossessed it. Let them have the land. They repossessed it. I had a 1968 three-quarter ton Chevrolet truck, 327, three on the tree, dual exhaust. I remember. Had an old trailer, put my mortar mixer. I had served an apprenticeship as a plasterer. I knew what to do. We packed our stuff up and moved to Cincinnati. Back, got an apartment. I was running from the call. Went and bought a Shure Vocal master set to sing with. My mom went with us because I told her God's calling me to do something. I think it's sing. And I knew in my heart he'd called me to preach. We went to Rimpke. Anybody remember Rimpke? And bought the sound equipment. Practiced. And I couldn't get peace about it. Wasn't even in church. Just tore up. Tore up. Say, what was going on? God was calling me. And I need to give you this personal illustration because some of you men may be struggling with the call. You need to know God can be as real in a call to preach as he can a call to salvation. Yeah. I didn't go to church. I got a job in a Merrill Dow as a janitor. Couldn't find a plastering job. So I was a janitor. Pumping gas in the daytime, sweeping floors at night. Worked at the Payless gas station there in Harrison when it was there by the old Dog and Suds. Guy rolled in an old car, said, fill her up and clean the windshield. That's back when we had to do it. And did it all. Oh, by the way, man, he was indignant. Hand me a track. You saved? Who does he think he is? Gabbard. I walked over there and said, yeah, I'm saved. John 3:16, gave him a couple of verses. It says, where do you go to church? I said, I'm not going, but we're fixing to go. You're fixing to go. I said, yeah, we're listening to this guy on the radio. His name's Jack Grigsby. And if I go in, because he was straight, and I knew he was straight. So I'm going to go there. Oh, okay. He said, look at the back of that track I gave you. It says, Mount Hope Baptist Church, Pastor Jack Grigsby. By the way, I'm Bruce McDowell. Make sure you clean that windshield. My first meeting of MacDowell. Well, I made it about a year not surrendering to the call, miserable. My wife thought I was going crazy. I thought I was going crazy. I thought, well, maybe I need to get saved again. I mean, it tore me up. And I listened to message after message after message. Brother Jack just stood in the pulpit still. You know, his vein would pop out a little bit there, and he'd just preach. Didn't do no running, no jumping, no hollering. He preached a message one morning on Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I thought somebody had told him. I think I told Bonnie that night. I don't know if I stepped out that morning or that night. It might have been that next Sunday morning. I stepped out all by myself. And walked forward. When I glanced around, she was following me down the aisle. Jack said, what'd you come for? I said, I come because God's called me to preach. I don't know what that is. She said, I'm coming with you. And I looked back and out stepped an old man. His name was Tom Darty. He hobbled all the way to the front and stood there with us. Jack said, what'd you come for? He says, because God called me to preach 25 years ago, and when I stepped out, my wife didn't come with me. I'd never preached a day in my life. And I want to stand here with this man and his wife as a testimony that you ought to surrender to the call God puts on your life. So you're hearing my testimony, which I think is important. I believe God called me. I believe the scriptures bear it out. And I believe that we need to pay attention. And if you're struggling with a call, if it takes you a year, if it takes you 2 years, I think you ought to make your calling an election sure. Take your Bible, if you would, and look, if you would, at 2 Timothy 1:8-9. Be not thou therefore, it's in your syllabus, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the effects of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. I believe the call to preach is a holy calling from God. I don't believe it's a man call. I don't think it's an institution call. I think it's a God call, and you'll have to work it out with you and God. If you're a man here, and you're dealing with that thing, listen, I know all about it. And there's probably not a preacher here that hadn't been called that didn't fight it just a little bit. I remember when Titus called me, he says, Dad, I think God's dealing with me to preach. I said, what are you going to do? I don't know. He said, what'd you do? I said, I ran. He said, how'd that work out for you? He said, not too good. So he surrendered and finished 4 years of Bible school. Now he's had a hard road to hoe these last few months and years. Married 6 years, and his wife decided to go out on him. Now he's not married anymore, and he's left in limbo. And you know what I tell him every week? God's not done with you. God's not finished. You say, what do you base that on? Take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Look, God calls a man. He knows you're a sinner. He knows there's problems. He knows there's struggles. He knows things aren't going to be smooth sailing all the time. As pastor has said, calm seas don't make good sailors. Amen. You're going to go through something. But it says the gifts. And I believe teaching is a gift, preaching is a gift. There's all kinds of gifts in the Bible, and the gifts are for the church and ministering to the church. He says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and that's Romans 11, 29. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1:26, he says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I said, amen, amen, and amen. I was a guy that barely graduated from high school because my mom and dad split the home up, and went their separate ways, and it just tore our family up. I was failing English. I was failing government. I was failing history. And I just didn't go to school no more. I got my old car, and I went to stay with my sister. She begged me to go back to school. Her husband begged me to go back to school. Don't cry. I'm going to the Army. They're drafting us as soon as I'm 18. I was 17 years old. Mr. Lane, our principal, come to see me one day. Said, Philip, if you'll come back to school, I'll see that you graduate if you'll just let me help you. And they hand-tutored me and got me through high school, and I finally graduated. You ought to see my report card. I couldn't spell. I couldn't read. So don't, God doesn't call many wise. Pretty foolish looking. It's a joke when somebody says, hey, Dr. Phil, I just want to laugh. You say, why? I know where I come from and who I am. I look back at some of my old messages and my spelling. I wrote everything out. I got everything written down, everything. We'll go through some of that, but somehow to do that. I was spelling once, W-A-N-T-S. I was spelling O-N-C-E. I mean, I was spelling O-N-C-E-W-A-N-T-S. You say, how'd you get past that? I tell you, I got the best English language I could ever get by reading this old Bible and getting under a pastor that said, you don't know English? You read that book, you'll learn English. Get you an English grammar book. I've been on a learning curve all of my life. I love to learn now about the Word of God, about the English, about history. And now I can even type a little bit and you can actually read it. Well, some of that's copy and paste. But copy, paste, confess, you know, those three. said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about make your calling and election sure. He says, and I think that's something we say, well, there's nobody called here. It's okay. Because you may be a teacher someplace. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a preacher. God may not call you. I'm not calling anybody. I'm just simply saying God has a call for the men of God. And I believe that he still calls today. I'd much rather see a God-called preacher than somebody stepping, oh, I just wanted to do this. I think it's good. You know, he said, he that desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. I just want to be a preacher. And here's how I know. I woke up one morning. I didn't want to go to work. And I was craving fried chicken. Well, I'd rather, it's a godly business. It's a holy business. It's a righteous business. And he calls the likes of guys like me and runs them through and tries to teach them something. Now, I just want to share with you what I've learned. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise. Look at the next place that I've listed for you, 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now, I've picked these verses because they have to do with specific call and the called. It's not a word called like I called you for supper. It's found in a different context. Then look, if you would, at 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us. So saved is first. Called is second. You're called unto salvation, as we explained earlier, Romans 8:28, who hath saved us, there you are, comma, and called us with a holy calling. So that calling God puts in a man's life is a holy calling, not according to our works. It's not nothing you did. There's nothing in this world that qualifies you to be a God-called preacher. He doesn't need the world's education. He doesn't need intellect. He doesn't even need a high IQ. Living proof. Not according as to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God has a purpose. Don't you ever doubt. Everything that you go through, especially preacher guys, men, God has a purpose in your life. You want to make sure that you fulfill that purpose to the best of your ability and the best of the call that he puts on you. Say why? Because one day Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men because we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 in the context, 2 Corinthians 5 in the context. He says both times about the judgment seat of Christ, beware of what God has called and placed upon you. He has a purpose for you. Make sure you do that with due diligence. And then he tells Timothy, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Let me finish. Who has saved us and called us? Then at last, 2 Peter. Peter knew something about it. Wherefore, 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, I really like this last part. If you do these things, ye shall never, the word is, fall. A whole lot of men fall out there. You say, why do they fall? I have to think it's probably because they didn't stick with that old book. You say, well, how young can you be to be called? I think God might have put the bug in my ear when I was 12 years old. But he couldn't use me at 12, obviously. I probably couldn't even read at that time. I don't know. I just saying. But he sure made sure I got the message in 1975 when I was 25 years old. And let me just close with this. When I stepped out that morning and surrendered to the call to preach, you know when you got saved, the peace that swept over you? You said, man, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I find out about this way before? And if you got saved early, you just remember something changing. You can't really explain it, but man, I'm going to heaven. You knew. Kind of when you get called to preach is the same way. I mean, you know you're headed for a life of burden, work, and probably trouble. But boy, at that moment, it was sweet peace, grace, and mercy applied to you. I think I preached all the way home. And you say, where'd you surrender? I surrendered at work behind a buffer in a lavatory where they dissect rats with parenting. You say, why? Because it was real. I didn't have to be by nobody else. It's just me and God. It's not you and the congregation. It's you and God. I got down behind that buffer. I shut it off. I had 10,000 square feet I had to clean that night. And I said, God, I don't know what, but here's what I said. I need grace. I knew this. Grace fixed a whole lot of things. Whatever you want from me, you got it. That's what I said. If you're calling me to preach, I'll preach. That's what I said. When I got up from behind that buffer, there was a new spring in my step and a song in my heart. I went home that morning, got home about 7:30, 8 o'clock, told my wife, I surrendered to preach last night. She said, you did? Yeah. She at the time, she didn't know what all that meant, but she knew that I was going to be a whole lot easier to live with. Amen. By the way, that Tom Darty, that guy that stepped out with me, sent me over a course of years all of Oliver B. Green's book. Every month I'd get a box in the mail with Oliver B. Green's, but I still got most of those books, multiple copies of them, because he'd just send them every month. He'd give it to Oliver B. Green and give him my address, and they'd send me the books. That was a man that didn't have to acknowledge a call on anybody or anything, but he did that day. But most of all, God acknowledged it and gave me peace. I've wanted to quit 1,000 times, but because God called me, I can't quit. I can't quit. So these lessons are, and that's all you'll get of my testimony. Now that's it. Class is over. But I wanted to talk about the call. It's a personal thing. It's a man thing. Don't come up to me after the class and say, Brother Phil, I knew God was dealing with me for something. Now I know he's called me to preach. And you being a lady, I'll cover that next time. It's going to be hard for you to be the husband of one wife. Unless you're that way. I don't know. So it's a man call. Next week, I took chapter 5. If you downloaded that book or can get that book, and if anybody would like that book, I should say this. Am I at liberty to say that? Could we get that book? Could we get a few copies of that to pass around? If you need that book, I'm a little careful here how I spend the Lord's money. And I don't have a lot, but it's about a $6 book, isn't it? But if somebody has to have that book, you can download it. Now, if you can download it, go ahead and get it. Because I know you're not going to give up that cheeseburger and those fries and that drink. That cost me $7. So you can buy the book for cheeseburger, fries, and Coke. But if you just have to have a book, you let us know. We'll try to get you a book somehow. So take care. Sir?
I'd pay you for a book like that.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, well, we'll take that if you want a hard copy. And we may see about getting some. And then we'll make them available to whatever they cost us. How's that? Is that fair? That's fair. You're willing. By the way, there's no tuition. Keep your checkbooks in your pocket. So we'll make these books available and you can buy them. How about that? No tuition. Okay, Pastor, would you have a word or anything for us tonight? I'm done here. And if you have something, surely speak. Amen. 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 Pastor. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, amen.
You're going to be.
Thank you, Pastor, for your input, your mind. You have anything, young man?
No, just make sure that we have contact information.
Okay, great.
And then questions, was you going to build questions?
Yeah, if somebody I had one question today. I know we're out of time. I had one question today, and I'm honest before God. A lady come to me today. I don't see her here, obviously. And she asked me if I believe Joyce Myers was called to preach. And I said no. Because when I say preach, I'm in the context of pastoring. I'm in the context of a bishop, an elder, or a pastor. I understand you can go witness to somebody and they might say, I got preached to today. And I understand that context defines the term. We're in the context of pastoring. Ephesians chapter 5, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That is our context. And that he's speaking basically to the man of God. And Pastor said it well. Everybody's supposed to tell somebody about Jesus, and somebody's going to call you a preacher, ladies. But in our context here, we're looking at pastors and men that would go out and start churches, go to the mission field, start drop-in centers or whatever. And that's our goal. One of my burdens has been to see this church start another church. 45 minutes, 50 minutes away. We got Brother Gerard. Help me, brother. I'm trying hard. I butcher that. I don't know why. But Brother Sam, you know, he's got a burden for the Amish people. Wouldn't it be great to see him one day have a church somewhere on the edge of an Amish community where he could win maybe his folks and his brethren that used to be? I mean, he's got a burden for it. Who knows? I don't know. Whatever God wants to do, that's a vision and a burden that we carry. As question, anything,
you know,
Jeff?
Just 1 minute comment. One thing that stood out was when you said your wife was there behind you.
Yeah.
That was
Let me say just. I don't speak from scripture now. I just speak from knowledge, kind of like Paul was. A woman can either make you or break you. And there's not a lot you can do about it, guys. If she's not with you, you're headed for a rough road. You say, well, I won't do it. God will still find a place for you to serve. You say, well, I'm divorced. Doesn't matter. I tell my son, he's working on his divorce. She's not coming back. She's living with the guy she went to have an affair with. Is he done? He's 29 years old. He's not done. As I see it, we'll touch on some of that stuff as we go on. And I know this will be fuel for our pastor, and he'll grab something and he'll be preaching it. You really helped me today with the message, gear me up for tonight with tonight's message. And I'm not just saying it, so thank you for that.
Brother Phil, I want to touch on that. My nephew is the pastor at Miltonville Baptist Church.
Been there. Yeah, we'll try it somewhere in the course of this to cover the grounds of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It's a very touchy subject among a lot of folks, but it doesn't always disqualify you for some of the things God calls you to do. Somebody else with something, give you a minute or two. And if something I can't answer, or Pastor or Jeremiah or Brother Sam, any of these guys that are studying, we'll get an answer for it somewhere. We'll pray and search the book till we find it. So anything at all, guys? Thank you so much for coming, and this was a soft start, and I knew it was an ice-breaking start, and some of you say, well, I see now kind of what's going on. This class is for the preachers. You know, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. You make adjustments and do what you have to do. One thing I would ask everybody that's here, I feel like you have some desire, is pray for us in our endeavor to step out on faith and teach the Word of God. That's all we're doing. So anything else? Anybody? Jeremiah, I want to have you come close us out in a word of prayer.